Hello everyone, my name is Laura.
And my name is Anouk.
And we're the co-host of the International Student Voices podcast, the ultimate guide for studying and living in the UK.
In this episode, we're going to discuss all things student accommodation related. For me, this was a massive question that I started asking myself, especially around March, April time, when I started to get responses from universities. I feel like accommodations are quite a big part of your student life because for a lot of students, it's the first place you'll be living in on your own after moving away from home. And it was both the case for me and Laura. So today, we'll be answering all of the questions we were asking ourselves before the start of our bachelor's degree.
But before we actually dive headfirst into the episode, we wanted to say that we are very excited to announce that we have created a website where we share information about the podcast in general, also a blog with extra resources and articles, and most importantly, it will serve as a hub for all of our episodes with a show notes area where you'll be able to find information on the main talking points of episode as well as external resources mentions. So the website is called isvpodcast.com. So check it out today or anytime soon.
Okay, so let's dive straight in to the topic. So I think a first thing we really wanted to talk about is kind of the importance of criterias and things to think about when, looking at the accommodation, whether they're specific or general.
Yeah, exactly. Just going through like different bullet points, the things that you need to consider before actually moving into your student accommodations or before making your choices.
Yeah, and I'd say they're both a mix of things that we did take into account and things that now looking back at it, we would have wanted to take into account.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think it's good because it shows that things we've learned throughout our university experience and now we're sharing advice based on our experience.
Definitely.
So do you want to start with
one of the first things? Yeah, definitely. I think that one of the most important things to take into consideration is on versus off campus, mm-hmm. whether you're living on campus, close to the campus, or far away from the campus. I think in that sense, that's quite good because Anouk and I have very different experiences first year. So it also showed that either of these options is completely fine. But you still have preferences.
Definitely. I mean, for me, for example, that is one of the things that I did take into account and I was quite conscious about right before my bachelor's degree. And it was a question I had. So I was where do people usually go? Because I feel that's in your head. You're okay, where does everyone go? And there isn't really a response to that. At the end of the day, everyone's going to be in all the accommodations. There's going to be people everywhere. And it comes down to your preference. And for me, I was I know I like sleeping in. I'm not a morning person. So I do being able to be a 15 minute walk away from university. And so I decided to pick a university. I don't think it wasn't on campus, but it was close to campus. So Laura said, there's a difference, a slight difference between on campus and next to campus. But honestly, it was still a 15 minute walk, which was amazing. And I think it came really handy. When I wanted to come home for lunch, I could come home for lunch because even if I had a 1 hour break, I had the time to come back and make myself food. So that's something that was really important to me. And I'm happy that I picked an accommodation close to campus.
Yeah, no, for sure. You mentioned not being an early person, not waking up early in the morning. I feel the same.
Yeah.
So definitely was one of my criteria. I have a funny anecdote about that, but it will also be about when to apply. So the first university we applied to was University of Leeds. So we both looked at the different accommodations they had. And one of them caught my attention. It was Liberty Dock.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked it. But then I checked the distance and I was there is no way because it was 45 minutes away from campus.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up being assigned this accommodation because I applied late. But distance, I realized it after applying and living in this accommodation was quite a big thing. 45 minutes away means by walk, but also sometimes the weather in the UK, it's raining. So you will do this walk while it's raining, while it's cold, but also sometimes you have transports. So for example, taking a bus, which was extra money. For example, the accommodation was cheaper, but we ended up paying a monthly subscription for a bus or even when you're really late, you cannot catch the bus.
Mm-hmm.
We had to book an Uber. You know what I mean? It added up to the cost of the,
I feel the things that you don't take into consideration before, because you can't fully picture yourself there. But as you said, I feel the weather and even during the winter, the sun literally sets at 3:30 p.m. like at least in the north of the UK in Leeds, or like 4 p.m. maybe. And so when you're walking home in the dark, it's also nice to know that you're close by, because, you know, sometimes it can be unsafe, or it's just not really nice to walk on your own in the dark. So I feel like they're just little things to think about and think, okay, do I want to be on campus versus off campus? But then you were quite close to the city as well, so I think there's like, you know, benefits and like,
yeah, definitely. I love Liberty Dock so much. Like, the first accommodation I lived in, the distance was literally the only actual issue. But yeah, like other things such as, for example, catered and non-catered services, I wasn't even aware of this. Like, I basically discovered that through the episode with Maya on living alone versus with flatmate. When she said that, I was like, I actually didn't know you actually could do that. But yeah, so that's another option that you can consider. For example, if you definitely don't like preparing food for yourself, it's a bit like more expensive, but that could be an alternative.
Yeah, I feel like we should go into it because I didn't know the specific terms for it. But basically, catered means an accommodation where they prepare food for you. So you'll go into like maybe like a dining area. So you have your own room, probably like a shared kitchen area still, but not many like, you know, resources for you to cook your own food. You'll go downstairs and there's like a main hall where they'll have like pre-made food and I guess pre-made like times where you can have breakfast, lunch and dinner, or just lunch and dinner. I don't really know. It depends on like the accommodation. And non-catered obviously is the opposite of that. And it's, you just have a kitchen and you make your own food. There's not even the option where people can make food for you.
Yeah, definitely. And that's crazy to me. That, yeah, because I struggle so much first year of uni with my diet. So
I think it's definitely, it could be good for like a transition because you're living on your own, which is a big difference. And so if someone's making the food for you, that's already really good. I know that for me, it's something that I didn't want because I think I did have some like basic cooking skills, and I knew that I didn't really like kind of canteen style food, even though I'm guessing it's like good quality. I've never tried it, and so I'm still very happy that I could make my own food, but I know for some people it was a massive benefit, and as you said, maybe it could have been a good option for you as well.
Yeah, because like I'm definitely cooking now for myself, but back in first year, like I was never cooking, eating meal deals all the time, like Pesco is like those triangle like sandwiches. So I think the first year would have been a better option than what I was actually doing. So yeah.
Yeah. I'd say something else as well is thinking about like what type of accommodation, when we're thinking of, would you want to live in like a shared kind of accommodation space, or would you want a studio to live in? Because there's the two options. A lot of like student accommodations will have both, or you can also have student accommodations that are just studios. And I think for that type of like living arrangement, I definitely suggest going to, I think it was like episode 4 where we discussed with a guest speaker, Maya, who kind of talks about her experience balancing living with people versus alone. And I think that would be a really great place to like kind of listen about like, yeah, what you should do.
Yeah, I agree, because you definitely have preferences. Some people just don't like sharing the same kitchen space or area. They like having their own kitchen. So that would be more like the studio option. But be aware that kind of like, if you have a studio option, generally you have your own space, but you don't really share a common area with other people. So if you're more like a social person, I would say shared accommodation would be the perfect option for you, because the kitchen is also a living room in a way. You share that area with the people you're living with, so that could be just chilling in the kitchen at night, you know, experiencing just social moment with your flatmates. I feel that's quite cool. But you have different options, I think, corresponding to different personalities, so yeah, that's quite cool.
Definitely. I wouldn't say like there's anything bad about certain options. It really does come down to your preference, and once again, we really recommend you check out episode 4 because, yeah, that will have all the information. Then another thing that's quite important to look at is cost, because obviously right before your bachelor's, you're creating kind of your budget and you're thinking, okay, how much does like accommodation fit into that? And I think it's quite important when looking at different accommodations, because you might really like an area, but it might not be in your budget, or like you might really like this other accommodation, but it's not really in your budget. So I think it's really important to take that into account.
I completely agree. I think that's one of the big questions before, like every student asks themselves this question. And that was at the back of my mind, because when I looked at different accommodation, Liberty Dock was definitely one of the cheapest options because of the distance.
Yeah.
And I was quite pleased by that. But I know that's, yeah, some students actually are very picky because of that, of course. And I think the cool thing about student accommodation as well, generally bills are included, like most of the times.
Yeah.
So you don't really have to worry about like whether you need to pay the electricity every month or how much electricity you're using or water. Like it, yeah, bills are included. So that's quite like, it allows you to plan your budget, as you said. ahead of time and before actually moving in your accommodation. Another cool thing as well is that once you're filling your application form to apply for like the accommodation of your choice, you can actually select some criterias. For example, if you feel quite uncomfortable living with like other guys, for example, and you want to live with only girls, you have that option. For example, if you don't want your flatmates to be drinker, like to drink alcohol, you have that option as well. If you're a vegan, vegetarian, you have so many different criteria that you can actually select. Yeah.
I think that's really good as well, because if you're uncomfortable with certain things, so I don't know, if you feel like you're a girl and you wouldn't want to live with, you know, the opposite sex, which is completely understandable as well. It's really good that you have those options, and they're also like they're anonymous, I guess. So like no one's going to know you chose those options. So I feel like it's
completely fine. I think it's amazing that the fact that they had that was quite, because like I had no idea about what were the criterias or how to, because I was coming from France. So, and when I saw that, I found it really nice. I didn't have any like specific requirements myself, but I thought it was really nice, like for other people to have this possibility. And then one thing to take into consideration is the on-site activities. I think that's quite cool. First thing is the laundry rooms.
Yeah, I think they're really, really important, because laundry is something that you don't think about before going to university, because a lot of the time your parents are going to be the ones doing it. And so, yeah,
something that you think about. If you're a sport child like me.
But it's really, really good to have your laundry like rooms on site, so that you don't have to leave the house when it's cold, when it's raining, and you can just bring them downstairs and just put them in a washing machine.
No, I was telling Anouk like about 3 months ago we broke the washing machine, so I had to take the clothes on my shopping trolley. I put them like stuffed them on the shopping trolley, and it was raining, so I had to take it 15 minutes away from where we live. So it was
really inconvenient. And it doesn't make you want to do your laundry.
Exactly, it's not for sure. Now, talking about laundry room, I have such a funny anecdote that happened to me first year of uni. So you need to know that like laundry rooms in student accommodation, obviously you have a set amount of washing machines. For example, say like 10 washing machines for 100 students. So sometimes when you'll go to do your laundry, somebody will like just take your space or take your clothes out of a washing machine. But one time I went to do my laundry, I came back to my room, I think it was done in an hour or something, and then I came back to the laundry room and my stuff were not there. Like I checked every single dryer, I checked every single washing machine.
The panic. My
god. No, yeah, so literally scared. They were not here. So I was just like, this is crazy. So I asked everyone in the I literally stayed there for like 2 hours asking everyone, like, is it you, whatever. Like,
just become paranoid.
No, literally I became crazy. I asked the guy from the reception like to basically help, because they had cameras there, whatever. I made such a scandal, like it was like the drama of our accommodation, because nothing was happening there. And then like basically my friend like few hours after, like was doing her laundry, but basically she was the one who put her clothes on top of mine, but mine was stuck to the edges of the washing machine,
like all around the washing machine, just stuck.
Exactly, so I couldn't see them because she has put like she put her stuff on top of it. So basically when she took her stuff out, she realized that some of the stuff were not hers. So like it literally, this story followed me like 4 days after, people were still talking about it. It was just so funny. But yeah, so it can happen to you as well.
Yeah, but overall positive experience. Hopefully just things
it was
like
my
this
only
can happen.
Drama. Yeah, it was my only drama in this accommodation.
But yeah, and the other like on-site activities, I'd say like the gym was a big one for me. So luckily there was a gym in my student accommodation. It was really great because like the laundry rooms, it meant I didn't have to leave the building. And I feel like when it gets like really windy in the north, cold in the winter, and especially dark really early, like we said, it's so nice to not have to leave the building and just go down an elevator.
I completely agree. Like us was quite small gym, but it was a very tiny one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but it was still really nice, like, yeah, having this possibility. Then other stuff could be, for example, in common rooms, sometimes you have a cinema, like, or at least the possibility to watch a movie with your friends. And that's quite cool. And social areas. So it's mainly like common areas, social. Yeah, you basically have a room where you have the cinema option, some tables. If it is, for example, like Anouk's accommodation tend to be indoors because it was like a big building. Us, it was more like some small accommodations spread apart, and so we had like tables outside and stuff like that. So it was like a bit different, but you still have those possibilities, and I feel that's quite cool, especially beginning of the year.
Definitely, it's really nice because you can just go downstairs and there'll be people, you get to meet people in a kind of like an organic way. It's kind of just like massive living rooms with loads of like sofas, and there's sometimes like board games or video games, so you get to do like I don't know, social stuff. I know we were really lucky, we actually had like a pool table table. And that was really cool because we got to rent them. I got to invite people over. And also, I think we met people through just playing pool, yeah. which is just really nice, I feel like.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I think my... It was not... I think. It was, like, literally the first table I sat at during, like, the first social event at my accommodation is where I met my closest mm-hmm. friends. Like, they were all reunited on this same, like, table. So that's quite nice. Just go out there, like, speak to people. At yeah. the beginning of the year as well, because, like, they're organizing yeah. stuff in order for you to meet other people. I feel like...
For sure.
Yeah.
I feel like they're definitely less used, like, as, like, the year goes by. Because yeah. obviously you've got your own living room and stuff. But at the start of the year, I think they're really, really good. They're a great way to meet loads of people in your accommodation.
Definitely. And we talked about it during Freshers Week as well. So, like, check this episode because we talked about, like, you know, all the social activities, how to meet people. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely the time of the year to do so.
Definitely. And then, so we're talking about on-site activities, now kind of more off-site activities. So I think when thinking of your accommodation, so we said, okay, does it want to be off-campus, off, like on-campus versus off-campus, but also like, is it located near a gym? Is it close to a supermarket? Is it close to the city? Is it in a safe neighborhood? They're all things I feel like that you should kind of consider because depending on your preference, you know, if you like doing small shops and going to like a small Tesco every day, it's really good to be like a 2-minute walk away. Okay, and so now we've gone through kind of what the criteria you want for your different accommodations. Maybe you've made a list of like, I don't know, my top 5 accommodations. Now you're kind of thinking like, what does it actually look like? And so we're kind of going to talk you through the resources that you can go through that we went through and also now that we'd suggest you go through.
Yeah, definitely. I think a first thing could be the open days. I wasn't even aware you were the one bringing this up. I wasn't aware that you could actually visit the accommodation you're interested about or all the accommodations from like of your university. And I think yeah. that's quite cool.
Yeah, no, it's really great. So we talk about it more in depth in our open days episode. So definitely check that out. But yeah, you get to walk into the accommodation. Sometimes students will like let you walk into their actual room so you get to see the layout of it, and it's really good because if you want a bigger room or a smaller room, it kind of gives you an idea of the size of it, which you sometimes can't get from a picture.
Yeah, definitely. And another thing could be at least I know that like for the University of Leeds, some of their accommodations, there were videos online of like actual students living there doing a tour, like a video of their rooms, their kitchen, etc. So that was quite cool. And that's how I could picture what my accommodation would look like, basically.
Yeah, because as we said in the Open Days episode, everyone can't attend an open day or go see the university. So videos are a really great way to kind of get a real life perspective on things. And I was telling Laura this. I don't know if you guys know about it, but I don't think you did before.
No, yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah, so they've got these YouTube videos for different accommodations that are like 360 videos. And so if you click on the video, you can like with your mouse kind of move around the video and see a 360 like version of the room. And so it gives you like a perspective. You can see like literally, I don't know, from the ceiling to the floor, to the right, to the left, anything, you can see the whole of it, which is really cool.
No, that's amazing, because it feels like you're actually visiting the accommodation. Like, it's practically similar.
Yeah.
Almost similar.
Yeah, completely. And then other things, I guess you could always look at reviews, see what people say about different accommodations, because sometimes on, like, the university website, they'll have, yeah, different people's opinions on it. And then a last thing I'd say in terms of like asking for advice, student ambassadors, we've said it so many times before. I feel like everyone that's been listening to the podcast like episodes consistently will know student ambassadors are just a great way of getting an authentic perspective on student accommodations.
Yeah, I completely agree. And then another thing to consider is just when to apply. I think you can talk during hours about that, how important it is to know when is the actual deadline to apply for accommodation. So all of this research, everything that we mentioned in this podcast episode are the things that you need to take into consideration before applying. But then the cool thing is that you can do all this research in advance and then know the deadline, apply on time, you figure it out, like you already know all the accommodation, your preferences, which one you're going to apply for.
It makes the process so much quicker. And then when it comes down to applying, you can check your emails, check like the exact date on the university website or like the accommodation pages. And that way you'll know exactly how can I, you know, do this in advance or how can I do this exactly when it opens, because it can get quite competitive, I think. And if you want to be able to, you know, have your first choice, it's just applying early is the best way to secure your first choice, if not your second.
Yeah, don't do like me. Like, I remember my friends were applying for uni universities in the UK as well, and they were like talking about it around like May, something like that, and I was convinced that our actual deadline was in July or something.
Mm-hmm.
I was literally convinced about that, but somehow it, like, yeah, it wasn't the case. So basically, in July, I realized that basically the deadline has passed. So I was assigned a random accommodation. Basically, it wasn't my choice. So I was really happy in the end, but the distance was the problem, as we said. So as I already talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely apply in advance if you want to choose, like, have the accommodation of your choice. But don't be worried if you don't. Generally, university have a place for everyone. If it happens, if you don't apply by the deadline, they assign to you, like, random accommodation. I think that's completely fine. And you can still change after you actually start your year. For example, after 3 to 4 months or during second semester, some exchange students left. So you have, like, spaces that becomes available and you have the possibility to apply for another accommodation. So that could be another option as well that you could consider.
For sure. I know that some people sometimes halfway through the year, you know, they make friends or like they wanted to be with a certain friend. And so they will move, which means that there's going to be free spaces and certain accommodations and then you can move as well. Obviously not the ideal situation, but it is still possible.
Yeah, because my uni, like my accommodation was empty. Like after 4 months, no one wanted to leave that far.
Crazy. I remember you telling me about that.
Yeah, I started with 6 flatmates. I ended up with like 2.
Honestly, that doesn't happen everywhere. So I think that was one of the rare situations I've heard of, but crazy.
Yeah, I know.
And just to conclude, I think it's really important for us to say that honestly, being in an accommodation is an amazing experience and it's just an overall great way to make friends and to socialize, especially, you know, in your first year when you know absolutely no one, when you're moving to a new country because you're an international student, and it's really great.
Yeah, I completely agree. Living in a student accommodation was actually one of the best experiences at university during my first year. That's where I met my best friends, my friends, and I was really grateful for that because I was able to meet other people that weren't necessarily studying my course, coming from different countries, studying in the same uni. So I feel we shared a lot in common and it was really good.
Yeah. So that's it for this episode today. Thank you everyone for listening. And make sure to follow us at IZ Podcast on Instagram. And yeah, the podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and now our website, which is izpodcast.com. So yeah, thank you guys for listening and see you in 2 weeks.
Bye.